This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
I'm going to do my very best to share with you out of Romans chapter 3. So that's where we're at. It's, I think, sermon number 5, but we are in Romans chapter 3. And I cannot go verse by verse, although I want to. Think of the sermons that we're going over as sample plates, a sample platter. And so it's really important that you do your job to go back and do your own homework. That's why you're writing notes. One of the things that the Apostle Paul is trying to do in his letter to the Roman church is going through some challenges. There's division that's happening in the church, and so the Apostle Paul is trying to deal with it. He's in a city of Corinth, and he's writing to the Roman church, and he's trying to set up, he's writing this letter to help them at the end, and we're going to talk about that, to be unified. What our very first sermon that we preached back in April on Romans chapter 1, the title was, Can We Get Along? Can't we all get along? It is very interesting that even in our church, how different we are. And that very first week, I asked you if you prefer what type of topping you want on your pizza. And I asked you to raise your right hand if it was pepperoni or if your preference was sausage. Let's try that. If your preference is pepperoni over sausage, do your right hand. Any sausage people, right? Your left hand. Yeah, me too. Chocolate cake. White cake, chocolate cake, white cake, really? Wow, I'm with, who are my white cake people? Yes. Chocolate ice cream, vanilla ice cream. Okay, chocolate people, put your hands down. Vanilla, you are my people. Beach house, lake house. John said both. No, okay, who are my lake house people? Yes, that's me too. Winter, summer. Who are my summer people? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Steak, well done, medium rare. Yes, praise the Lord. Tex-Mex burger joint. Tex-Mex burger joint. Who are my burger joint people? Amen, yes. Okay. Easy. This one's going to be easy. UF Florida. Florida State. All right, yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, here's one more. I forgot. Save money, spend money. Who are my save money people? Amen. Thank you for the point I'm trying to make is that there are a lot of reasons for us to be divided because we don't all like the same thing. In my marriage, if you guys have been here long enough, you know that Robin and I do not like the same things. Basically, everything I listed, we're opposite. She loves cold weather, me not so much. I love steak, she doesn't like steak. She loves Greek food, me not so much. She loves lots of garlic, me not so much. So what keeps our marriage together? Is it food? Is it sports? Is it television? What is it? Is it our children? Is it our children that keeps us together? Well, what happens when they grow up and move out? And that sometimes happens, right? It's the children that keeps you together. I can tell you, at least in my relationship, it really is Jesus. It's Jesus. He's the center of our relationship, and he keeps us together. We have lots of opposite likes, Robin and I. So what keeps a church together? If my mom was here, she'd be very upset with me. Because I'm not wearing a suit and tie. Some people love suit and tie at church, and some people don't, right? Some people are come as you are. I'm just trying to tell you there's lots of reasons for a church to be divided. So what keeps a church together? I will tell you it's the same thing. It's Jesus Christ. Amen? Some people I know love hymns. My mom loves hymns. And she'd always complain on, hopefully this is not, it is being recorded, but hopefully nobody's watching from Sarasota, her home church. Oh, I don't like that new worship leader. Like, oh, I don't know any of the songs. And like, mom, it's okay. Did they lift up Jesus? Yes. Some like to raise their hands for Jesus and jump for Jesus. And some like to sit and ponder the goodness of Jesus. Some like their presence in this church to have an R in the front, and some like to have a D in front of their names. And the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Romans because he knows that there's 1,000 reasons a church would not be united. So what will unite a church? And this is what Paul is dealing with. It may seem trivial what we just talked about, but if the trivial becomes the most important thing, it can begin to split the church, and it was happening in the Roman church. It happens in families. Have you ever been in a family fight? And you just say yes. I think I shared this last time. I remember my brothers going out behind the garage and they came out with knives and we were about to stab each other. I think it was a leftover from watching West Side Story. And so family fights can be pretty brutal. It can be very hurtful. But how does a family stay? How does an extended family stay together? Years and years and years ago, even in my own family, there was a challenge between me and my wife and a family member. Hard. A few years ago, about 12 years ago, in town, there was this huge split. The soccer club was basically one club, and there was a split 12 years ago. The first time I've ever been in a bar since college was at that meeting, because that's where they had the meeting. It was right up here at the, I think it's called the Fifth Quarter right here on Monroe Street. And I remember vividly listening to people about why they wanted to leave and why they wanted to split, and other people wanted to stay, and it was tough because I knew that at the end the losers were going to be the kids. And still to this day, you can see the effects of the club splitting. That split is symbolic of what can happen in churches. And sadly, I've heard of church splits that can echo through eternity. I'm going to ask us to really ask the Lord to focus on the most important thing and what keeps us united as a church, because that's what's going to happen with the Roman church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and kindness. Lord, help us, as we learned last week, not to think the issue is with somebody else. We love you, Father, and speak to us. I won't be able to finish my today's sermon, Father, but I pray, God, that you would finish with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Paul is trying to address some, and as I'm telling you, he's going to set a foundation. This is what unites us. Are you ready for this? What's uniting us, and we're going to see that in the first four chapters, is that we're all lost. You're lost, I'm lost. We're all in the same boat, basically. We're in the same boat, and Paul's going to say that all humanity is lost and drowning in their sin and is in deep need of rescuing. The rescuing comes from the death and resurrection of Jesus. Paul is going to tell the church that, and he's reminding us of that. The rescue comes from the death and the resurrection of Jesus. So that, why did this happen? This multi-ethnic church, and that was the problem in the Roman church. There was ethnicity issues. The multi-ethnic church, the family of God, can be united in Jesus Christ. And Paul is going to encourage them, admonish them, and admonish us to make sure we make the main thing the main thing. And that we don't argue over which is the best type of pizza, a pepperoni or a sausage pizza. And the reason he's going to challenge the church is so that his church would be more like Jesus. And when the church is like Jesus, it in itself attracts more people to the family of God. The second week, we talked about what motivates you. And Paul, in chapter 1, was saying in verse 11, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts to strengthen you." So his number one reason he was writing this and his motivation was to encourage and motivate. "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts to strengthen you." His desire was to see the body of Christ enhance in their spirituality. What you saw today in our service, if you're new, is our body being enhanced in our spirituality. People coming and sharing, people singing, people praying. We want the body of Christ to be strengthened. And so if you come to our church, our motivation is to strengthen you and enhance your life, and not the other way around, all right? We want to utilize people, but we don't want to use people. And Paul doesn't stop there. In verse 12, he says that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. If you listen to sometimes when you hear me speak, especially when I'm talking about other people, I'm very careful because this little verse really impacted me in my life. It is interesting that Paul says, the Apostle Paul, I mean, think of his stature in the body of Christ. He says that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. He is saying that there are people in the Roman church in Rome, that are probably brand new believers. They are most likely Gentiles. And he is saying, those people also encourage me. Also encourage me. So a lot of times you might hear me say, and I heard my son-in-law say it, and bless my socks off. He said it last night, that we are blessed that you are in my life. Not the other way around. We don't just say, you're really lucky I'm in your life. Very careful in that wording. It's not the same if I say, I'm glad you're my friend versus I'm glad I get to be your friend. It's lifting up the other. And Paul does that. This is so we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Every year I have a winter conference that I'm in charge of, and I get to see 18-year-olds by the hundreds at a SALT conference, jumping up and down for Jesus, screaming for Jesus, sometimes running around for Jesus. And I kept thinking to myself in the natural, how these kids are really just kids. But I am telling you, I am blessed beyond measure to see that excitement for the Lord. It encourages me and it challenges me. So the same with Paul, mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. He's saying, I am blessed that you get to be in my life. A brand new believer blessing the Apostle Paul. It's sometimes hard to imagine. The second motivation is duty. This is chapter 1, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians. Those are non-religious people, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. The third motivation is the confidence in the gospel. The righteous shall live by faith, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Paul has confidence in the power of the gospel, and it's revealed in these passages. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. Paul is saying, we are all lost. We're all in the same boat. And the person who's going to rescue us from being lost, aimlessly lost, drowning, lost in our own selfish ambition is Jesus. The gospel is Jesus Christ came, he lived, he died, and he rose again. Rome was not an easy, it was not an easy place to live for Jesus, and it wasn't something that anybody would want to emulate. He wasn't saying, I'm so proud I'm a Roman, or I'm so proud I'm from this country, I'm so proud I'm from this city. What he was proud is of the gospel. So as we sit here in the next few weeks, it'll take us to almost Christmas time, that we're going to sit under the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's powerful, that it can break generational curses that you have absorbed throughout your life. These self-imposed chains that are binding us. The gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. So the question I have for you is, do you believe? Last week, we talked about who is the most self-righteous person you know, and I asked you to think about it. And then I came back and I was maybe a hit from behind. I said, well, if you didn't think of yourself, then maybe your list is not long enough. You know, typically we're like, that person's self-righteous and that person's self-righteous. And Paul is challenging the church in Rome that you too need to be careful because you think too highly of yourself because of your religious heritage or because, you know, maybe in today's vernacular is that you go to church. Yeah, I've been in church all my life. That's cool and that's awesome. But that doesn't save you. And Paul is saying to his Jewish believers that maybe are leaning on their heritage and not on the cross, and they're leaning on who they were and their generations. And then Paul says, that is not going to save you. And so Paul challenged the church, and he's challenging us that we must look to ourselves and make sure that we are not blinded by self-righteousness. The Apostle Paul in chapter 2 says, therefore, we have no excuse who pass judgment on someone else. And then it is so interesting. I read the story last week on King David. I mean, man after God's heart, you know, anointed by God to be the king of the Israelites. And what happens? He's so blinded by his self-righteousness that it takes a prophet, Nathan, basically to slap him in the face and tell him, it's you. You are that person. And he did. He committed these horrendous crimes. But he didn't see it. But he saw it in others. He was the example of taking the speck out of a brother's eye, but didn't see the beam in his own eye. And so that's the challenge for us as a church. We have no excuse. You who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourselves because you who pass judgment do the same thing. Verse 4, my favorite part of this passage. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? And the first thing we learned last week is that you cannot fool God. Cannot fool God. God's not fooled. We might be fooled. Maybe someone in this room has, you know how to say the right words and do the right things, but you've never really given your life to Jesus. You've not surrendered your knee, bowed your knee to Jesus, and you might be fooling us, but it's a challenge to the church in Rome, but also to us. You can't fool God. Self-righteous people can easily fool themselves and others. Other point was that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. Sometimes God will bring people to the end of their rope. You know, we've had ministries like Teen Challenge, and they talk about the end of the rope. You remember that one guy talked about he was living in the woods, and he put a Craigslist ad asking for a pillow and a tent. And that guy was at the end of his rope, and God met him in the woods here in town. But sometimes God will use kindness to bring you back to him. Kindness with the gifts that only God can bring. But don't ever miscalculate or misinterpret God's patience and permission of time as allowance of continual rebellious towards him. God's kindness is intended to lead you to what? Repentance. So Paul is really admonishing the church. And the last thing, I know I'm going over and the kids' ministry downstairs will start getting mad at me in about 5 minutes. So the question I have for you is, do you believe in miracles? I listened to a testimony yesterday. It was powerful. So if you're new to Mosaic Church, we do believe God still does miracles. This pastor was preaching, and I guess he has all his life a raspy voice from some sort of growth. And he was talking about healing and miracles. And while he was talking about that, and he was basically saying, sometimes God doesn't heal now, and sometimes that healing comes with Jesus. And while he's sharing that, his voice was healed. It's powerful. So that's a miracle. How many would say, I need a miracle, Pastor? I'm raising my hand. I need one. Yes. We all need miracles. I'm not going to be able to finish this. I'll pick up next week. I just want to pray for you. I'm going to just stop there. How's that? All right? So we've got a few weeks with Romans, and so let me challenge you to read chapter 3, but we're going to talk about miracles. I'm not going to ask the band to come up, but I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Say, Pastor Mario, I recognize I desperately need Jesus. We all do. But chapter 3 is a miracle of knowing him. But I could use a prayer today. I need a miracle in my life. If that's you, just raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come front. I will eventually ask you to come front, but I'm not going to coerce you and fool you to come to the front. You can put your hand down. Heavenly Father, we know you and love you, and you know us, and you love us. You know our shortcomings, our strengths. But Lord, we come to you because you're our Father, our Abba Father. And Lord, we believe that you are a God of miracles. Lord, we recognize that sometimes miracles come in different forms. But Lord, we, being mere vessels, earthly vessels, Lord, from our perspective, we desire a miracle for you to intervene and help bring wholeness and healing. If you don't mind, those who raise their hands, and I can't remember who raised their hands, but if you would like to stand, I'm not going to ask you to come to the front, but if you'd like to stand, we're going to ask people to just maybe lay hands on you. Amen. So if you see people around you, just please put a hand on them. We're going to believe God for a miracle here. Lord, we say thank you for your goodness and kindness. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we know that we can't conjure it up. It's not by how loud I yell or how emotionally I get or how commanding I become. Lord, that's not what brings healing. It's you and your will. Lord, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would bring healing to our brothers and sisters in this church. Whatever it is, God, you know what it is. And Lord, we pray, God, that instantaneously, Lord, that you would bring healing. Lord, if it's physical, Lord, I pray, God, that you would just instantaneously heal them. Lord, if it's emotional, Lord, I pray, God, that you would heal their emotions. Lord, bring your Holy Spirit and pour out on their lives. And Lord, that they would just feel wholeness and, Lord, and a healing in the name of Jesus. Some might be in the form of financial healing. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would just begin to move. And Lord, that it would be so obvious it is a miracle, Lord, that the person receiving the miracle could just say, this could only come from you, Father. Lord, whatever happens, Lord, we're going to worship you in spirit and in truth, and we trust you, God. Lord, we say thank you and believe that you will come through in the way that you see fit. And Lord, we just say thank you, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Amen. We're going to wrap things up, and we're going to finish Romans chapter 3 next week. But I pray that you'll go home and that you will just ask the Lord to speak to you in powerful ways so that I think, again, for the biggest challenge for us, and especially as we're creeping up to our big election that we have every 4 years, that as a church, we make the main thing the main thing, right? The main thing. We're all in the same boat. We're all in desperate need of Jesus. And the only way we get saved from this drowning boat that we've been lived in is through Jesus Christ, and that he has a purpose for us. And the purpose is not to fight over pepperoni or sausage, things that don't have eternal value. And Paul's going to challenge the church, and I pray that he'll challenge us the next few weeks. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you. And I pray, God, that you would help us to love you the way you love us, and Lord, that we would love others. Help us to love our neighbors, Lord, those that don't like us, and Lord, I pray a blessing upon them. And Lord, I pray that through your kindness, Lord, we will be a people of repentance. And Lord, we say thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. May the Lord be with you. He is risen. God bless you. We are dismissed.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.